Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. I'm your host today, the Executive Director of Disciple First, Ben Borgman, and as usual, we have our contributor, faithful contributor, Craig Etheridge on the call today.
Hello, Ben.
There we go. In my next career, I'm going to be a injury lawyer.
That's right. So that's exactly right. Hey, it's good to be in the studio with you, my friend.
Yeah, me as well. And this is kind of we're kicking off this is actually our third season of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast.
Wow, where time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, this episode will kick that off. So just super thankful for you that just faithfully listen. We've been getting a lot of great feedback from people that have listened, and we hope it's helpful. And we've heard people that it is, but it's pretty humbling that we've got people listening and it's actually putting some of these things to practice. So super thankful for you to be on the episode today and be listening.
By the way, we have people been listening from all over the world.
We do.
You put up a map not too long ago in one of our meetings, and we got people from literally all over the world listening to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. That's pretty cool.
We do, and it's kind of interesting how it gets out there and how that moves. But yeah, I think over in between 20 and 30 different countries. So it's pretty cool to see that map when you pull it up and see where everybody's listening from.
Yeah, and if you're hearing something that's encouraging to you, forward it on to somebody. Tell somebody about it.
Exactly. So super excited. We're going to actually share a conversation that we recorded a few months ago with one of our Cross Creek Network planters, and a very interesting, unique kind of in the hot topics and right in the top of the news. He actually serves in Israel. And so in the northern part of Israel and up in the Galilee, his name is actually Pastor Israel, Pastor Israel Elus. And so Craig and him, he was in town for a conference we have for our Cross Creek Network, Church Planting Network. And so he was in town. And so Craig sat down and had a conversation with him. We were like, man, this would be great to share on the Disciple Making Leader podcast. And so he's just such a faithful, humble leader. And you know, you watch people and hear people's perspective that's completely different than anything we've experienced Yes. here in the United States, not only with the turmoil and hardships of war and things that are going on, but just the context of being in the Holy Land and all of that. It's so fascinating listening to him talk, but really, it is motivating, it is encouraging, because he is serving in a really difficult situation and season right now.
Yeah, he really is. I've been on the field with him. I've been in his congregation before, of course, the war broke out. And what God is doing in that congregation is remarkable. And I think this, you're going to really love this podcast, because you're going to hear from this man, and there's some gold nuggets in here.
Oh, yeah.
Of what he has to say that apply to us. But again, just encouragement that the gospel is going out in Israel, even in this very, very difficult time. So I'm fired up that we are getting to get this out there for people to really hear this interview. I think you're going to be really inspired.
Yeah, me too. I don't think we need to make them wait anymore. What do you think?
Let's just get right to it.
I think we just need to kick it over and let's hear about you and Pastor Israel having this conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy that are listening.
Well, I'm here with Pastor Israel Elus, my friend. We've known each other for many years now, and excited about what you are doing as you're planting your church in the Galilee in Israel. And we've been blessed to be a part of just coming alongside and encouraging you as you've multiplied now in other parts of the Galilee as your church has done that. And so as we're talking, though, now, you're facing a lot of challenges back at home. And so I want us to just talk a little bit about that. Why don't you first start off and just talk a little bit about how you got the church started in Kiryat Shmona and how you've multiplied it, and just kind of what's led us up to this point.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you. It's been It's been first of all, a blessing to, you know, being born again. I go to South Africa and, you know, stay there for, planning to stay for 1 month, stay there 25 years. But in that
That's a long stretch right there. Yeah.
In these 25 years, you kind of meet some cousin that you never met before, and then you meet your wife to be, and then that's the role, and then the Lord brought you to Himself, 96, yeah. And then you realize that you have to come to Israel. Coming from a religious home, coming from a very my father is a rabbi, so coming from all this background and coming to finally know the Messiah, you know that this is what you need to do. This is where you need to be in Israel. But obviously the Lord have great, and I'm blessed to be born again in South Africa, because the Lord have surrounded me with great people. And I knew that I have to come to Israel, but it obviously took 17 years more to bring me back to Israel. And that's where we started with the mission work to evangelize. And through that, the Lord opened door in Kiryat Shmona. Now, I never been in Kiryat Shmona, and I never thought ever I will be in Kiryat Shmona, as I never thought ever that I will meet my wife in South Africa or be in South Africa. But many other plans in man's heart, the Lord's purpose prevail in the end of the day. And that's how we start, with five people in Kiryat Shmona. Five people that I used to teach in Tel Aviv, and some of the people who moved to the Galilee asked me if I can teach them every week. And that's how we start, every Monday, coming to Kiryat Shmona, driving back to Tel Aviv. So 5 hours journey back in, so that's how we've done it. And faithfully, we've done it for 7 months. And just the Lord with a flat in one of the homes, and it just grew. After 7 months, we needed to realize that we need a bigger place. And then we got a bigger place, and it grew to about 25 people to 30 people. And then that flat was not even enough anymore, and we grew to a bigger place, and even that wasn't enough after a while, and we got to a bigger place. So that bigger place that we now have, it's been unfortunately been blown away by Hezbollah, but we praise God. The Lord is using even that. So
I remember being there with you and just celebrating, worshiping with you. What a beautiful, dynamic, really diverse congregation that you have there.
Very much.
They just love Jesus, and you've done such a wonderful job leading that church. And then talk a little bit about multiplying that into another town.
I think that's one of, when your heart, and I think this is where I think the secret of it, if we can say that, it's not a secret, it's throughout the scripture. When your heart is on the kingdom of God, you see things that otherwise, if you're oblivious to that, you won't see. And when your heart is for the kingdom of God, you just see opportunities. So as we saw the opportunities in Kiryat Shmona and it grew, you open your eyes all the time to what God is doing. And then you see calls coming from different places, and that's what we have in Rosh Pinah.
Right.
A call came from Rosh Pinah. We have people that had lived in Rosh Pinah, and they realized there is some more people there. Will you start a Bible study there? So we start a Bible study, and it grew to be a church. And as you know, Ziv, who I discipled him already from the beginning, 10 years he's with me. And that's how we do, growing up. Like now we have Levi with us. It's people that growing up from the church, because our goal is already to prepare for what we don't know, but we prepare for building the churches in the Galilee. But to do that, we need to grow from inside the church, the right people to discern what the Lord is doing, and to raise them up to be in that place that when the Lord opened the door, we have the right people to move in and to help. So that's how we done. Ziv has been helping me, and now that is in the right time, we started the new church in Rosh Pinah.
Right. So that's one thing I want to talk about for just a minute. One of the things I love about you is you are a disciple-making leader. I've sat in when you've discipled your young men. Remember when I was just watching you pour into these young emerging leaders. And Ziv, of course, is a great example of a godly man you've spent years pouring into. I think about Paul and into Timothy. That's what I think about you. You love him like your own son. I mean, it's just amazing to see that. And so what does that disciple-making process look like in Israel? And what does it look like in your relationship there?
You know, to decide, it's like, you know, as you've been there, you've seen, because we are a small church in the Galilee, the only church in the Upper Galilee, so it brought us close, very close to one another. And I think for me, pouring what has been done in my life, people pour their life in their life into my life, and that's how I know, you know, and I know, and that's what we've done in the congregation. So not only that we have a men's meeting, every week we have a men's meeting, but from the men's meeting, I sit with every one of them every week, sit with each and every one. And, you know, you get to know their weaknesses. You get to know their trouble, what they're struggling with, their strength. And you know what you build? And from that, you recognize the potential of each and every one of them. And I know, as you've seen yourself, there is Daniel Lifsitch that is strong and upcoming, and, you know, he's now having a baby and so on. So anyway, is building his family and so on. But, you know, Levi is coming up. And then you recognize, because you know them.
Yeah.
It's becoming a relationship so close that you know them, you know where they're at, and you know where to push and where to raise them, how to grow them, and to walk with them. And the idea is to really walk with them, and we walk very closely with each and every one of our guys, and we recognize the people that there is a hunger in them to want more, to they need more. You know, I think I'm always taking my example. When I was born again in South Africa, I was craving just to be in the church, man. I was going 2 hours earlier just to help, to clean, to do those things, just to the sound. Much of the thing need to be. And I think to serve, it's like you see it in the beginning. People that serve already in the beginning, not anymore growing to be a big teachers or something, but you see them serving with a broom. They see them serving in the basic stuff. And you know, you recognize, yeah, those are the people. Those are servant. Those are worshipers.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, we teach a lot about the relational aspect of Jesus' ministry. And I think about that. I think about your ministry, highly relational. Like you said, you're knowing these guys, you're investing in them, you're watching them, observing them, you're moving them up and then sending them out. And you've got a pipeline of emerging leaders that you've developed over time. And I remember going to visit your congregation one time, and afterwards we all ate a meal together.
Yeah.
And it was just the love for each other was palpable there. I mean, you could really sense the love of each other, and the way they took us in and loved us was just really remarkable. And so you're doing the real deal, brother. You are doing a great job, and God's really been using you up to this point. Now, you're at a turning point. There's a lot that's happening right now. And so tell us a little bit about the beginning of the war in Israel and what has happened over the past year with your congregation.
Yeah, so we definitely has been through a great challenge because our church is literally 2 kilometers from the borders of Lebanon, straight line. And so today, Kiryat Shmona, from the beginning, it's the most rocketed city in the whole country. Wow. So Kiryat Shmona get the most rockets, and the whole city has been evacuated. So imagine 25 people in the city of Kiryat Shmona and all around us, because our congregation is from Iftach, from Metula, from Dan, from all the villages that close to the border or on the border.
Right.
So all of us been evacuated. Even the church have to be evacuated from the church. So we had to find a new place to meet as a congregation. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, and I shared, that 10 times already we had to move. And we are in the region of Tiberias, so we meet all the time in different places and so on. What teaches us something quite amazing, that, you know, everyone that is surrounded in that area, that evacuated to that area, they're making all the effort to be in the church, to wherever we go, they come. So praise God, most of the church come. and about 40 to 45 people come almost every Sunday to every Friday that we meet, you know, with the meal that we do and so on. So that teaches us such a great lesson that the church, that the body of the Messiah is the church, not the building, not the bricks, not the anything else. It's the people. And that's what makes us a unique situation. It teaches us some great lessons that we'll know and we will learn still as we go along. But praise God, you know, there is a great, you know, because the nature of the church, it's a Galilean, you know, we are, that's what we are. We are simple Galilean. And that's in our simplicity, we come into this richness of our fellowship in Jesus Christ, and that's rich.
So you're meeting now in the Tiberias area. Mm. So the congregation is still gathering, but you found an opportunity to serve in a really impactful way. So talk about how did that come about?
Yeah, that's today we are cooking for many soldiers. You can imagine 300,000 soldiers called in. It was a chaos. It was a great chaos. No food was needed and many things was missing because people just came with a little bag just to serve. We didn't know what's going to happen. And it lasted, you know, now for a year. So my son started his restaurant, Jonathan started his restaurant 2 months before the war. And then the war started and the business was doing well, but boom, all the people left. Left Kiryat Shmona. I end up with about soldiers are driving around to look for something to eat because everybody, all the businesses closed down. So he found himself making food for soldiers. So he asked the congregation, if you guys will send groceries, we'll cook for them for free, to give them for free. So, and that's what we've done. And suddenly we had people coming and helping us. And it grew because it's got a small restaurant. After it grew up, I think it was about a couple of weeks or a month. He said, Jonathan, you can't just carry on here. This is too small. Let's move this whole operation to the church building and we can do it from there.
Yeah, you had a large kitchen in
and
the church.
And we have a large kitchen there. We have a large space to do, to cook, to cut and so on. So that's what we've done. And it's grown from 100 to 300 to 500. And our record now, it's 1,800 meal that we've done a day. And when you look at when you look at this kitchen, every professionals with catering with that, you'll tell him, this is what happened in this kitchen. No way. He won't believe it. But praise God. Multiplication. Yeah. That's what Jesus did. That's what we do.
That's why we said Jesus divided the loaves and fishes and you're still doing it in the Galilee.
So, I mean, you know, I think I always say that, you know, that's what Jesus did. That's what we do. We feed them spiritual food and we feed them physical food. And I think our meals in the congregation was always part of our makeup, part of our Shabbat meals, part of the bonding us together as a congregation. You know, many of us lost our relationship with our families, our friends, and so on. So to go even to our families, it's not as pleasant. It's become argumentative. It's become a war that are about our faith and so on. So it's just, you know, becoming in the end of the day, the church family, that's your family. And it's come with a cost. I mean, definitely it's a cost with friends, with family, it's come with a cost. And we're glad that the Lord have, although we lost some, the Lord gave us hundredsfold more.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about the people that are listening to this podcast. They're leaders, and maybe they're not facing a war. They're not facing something as dramatic as what you're dealing with, but they are facing a crisis or they're facing problems in their congregation. What would you say to them about how to navigate a crisis or problems and actually find a way for that to be useful? I mean, this as terrible as your situation was, it became a great platform. You could have run and not done anything. Most churches did that, but you stepped into it. So how would you encourage them in that way?
You know, I think it's something, it's, you know, in I think in everything, your heart need to be for Christ. Your heart need to be for the kingdom of God. And there is, I think, every day we have opportunity. Every crisis is opportunity. Every challenge is that we go in the streets, it's an opportunity. What goes in your heart? That's sometimes what matters, because challenges brings about who we really are. And I think this challenge, we knew one thing that we need to know, as I mentioned to many of you, it's not a matter if there is a war, if it will be a war, it's just a matter when. And when the challenge came about, we realized we need to stay. There is a great need in the Galilee. There is a great need in Kiryat Shmona. And it rose from the challenge, rose the need. And I think we all came, and my encouragement, I think, for many leaders who hear it, pastors, there is great need that happen all the time, not only in during the wartime, but there is many people, and especially in this day and age, peace. There is no peace. Yeah. People suffering so much. I mean, the war that happened in Israel brought so many, it's a traumatic situation. How do you lay? Many people asking us, how do you explain this? And I tell them, there is no way to explain this situation unless you read the scripture. Mm-hmm. The scripture teaches us, it gives us the strength, it gives us the road, it gives us the reason, it gives us the hope, it gives us everything. It's our foundation for everything that we do. Therefore, when Christ is our goal, when Jesus is our goal, everything lined up together, and especially in the time of crisis like this, your heart need to be in the right place. It will come. Many things the Lord tells us, that's what he wanted to change our heart. Mm-hmm. Because from the heart, all our thought, all our attention, everything comes from there. So if your heart is for Christ, you will see the need when it's arise.
Yeah, you'll see the opportunities
the
unfold.
Opportunity. You'll recognize.
One of the things that I've heard you say before many times is really crisis is what reveals what you're really made of.
Yeah, yeah.
And so talk much. About that.
You know, that's the, you know, I always says, take example of everything that we build. Take the sample of this chair that we see. Take example, bridge. You only know if it stand when you put things, heavy load on it.
That's right.
And the heavy load, it's the trials, it's the test, it's the time where you need to speak, to stand for what is right, for what is wrong, and to stand and to speak with boldness and confidence to speak about this is wrong, this is right, this is, and God is the only way for peace. And sometimes you need to stand. And all of us, with no exception, are get put in situation like this. Mm-hmm. Every morning, life called us to make choices at work, in business, and so on. How we act in those times, it reveals what we really made out of. And a trial like we going through a war and so on, it's a test that, you know, it's a life and death. And it's what you made out of. Will you stay? Will you run? Do you believe? Do you trust the word of God that is for you, that he will be with you, that your life is in his hand? No one can take it away. So all the threats from Hezbollah, from Iran, is it your life depends on their plan or God's plan? And there is a confidence in us that the Lord have put us there for that purpose exactly. So, and you know, it draws us more. It grows our faith even more. But that's what a test meant to be. The test exactly meant to do that, because of that, in scripture it teaches us rejoice
right
when you come with many trials. Mm-hmm. Those trials are there to either encourage you, to tell you well done, that you've done well, or to tell you you're lacking. You need to grow, you need to change.
Yeah.
Because one day you need to stand before Jesus. How you'll stand there determine also how we stand here. Mm-hmm. So it's the connection between how we stand here and how we will stand there. It's connected in a very real way. And we don't want to find out in the end that we lacked here.
That's right.
So, yeah.
That's right. Well, you're doing a wonderful job standing where you are and using this as a platform, this crisis as a platform to get the gospel out. I mean, the soldiers that are receiving these meals, they know where you stand. I mean, it's not they're just getting a meal. They also understand these are followers of Jesus that are staying here. And when everyone else leaves, they are here. They're serving us. And this is making a tremendous impact. Are you seeing right now the temperature, spiritual temperature of Israel turning more or opening up as a result of this conflict?
Oh, first of all, yes, Craig, many people turn to God. In their own way, they turn to God.
Right.
We're there to tell them, this is God. This is the way. He is the truth and the life. Yeshua, the Messiah that we all Jewish people prayed for and longed for, this is Him. Yeshua. And the soldiers, that many soldiers that come to us, they know all the food that they get, it's with scripture, it's with many things that remind them that who we are. Mm. So there are many people ask us, why are you doing this? And who are you? And the opportunity is just endless. You know, we serving thousands and thousands of soldiers. Listen, we fed over 100,000 soldiers already from the beginning of the war. Much more than that. And I know that those seeds have been planted in the heart of many of them.
Yes.
And you know, soldiers, commanders, officers coming into the kitchen, coming into the church, and they, the one that asked, while before we were looking for them, today they come in to ask us, why are you doing this? And especially with volunteers that come in from all over the world, they want to know why you are here. Nobody is here. No Israelis dare to come to Kiryat Shmona. Why are you here? And you know what? That's what can be more opportunity than this to share the gospel, to offer them comfort, as the Lord told us in Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people. Tell Jerusalem that her sin has been forgiven, that she received double for her wickedness, and to provoke them to jealousy, as the book of Deuteronomy teaches us. The Gentiles, suppose, that's their job.
Yeah.
That's the job of the church, to provoke the Jews to jealousy. The Jewish people were supposed to be light to the nation. Now we are the light of the world. Those who know the Messiah of Israel, Jesus says, you are the light to the world. And now, if not us, then who? If not now, then when? And we are the, as Peter stood then, as John stood, as David, King, they stood in their time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's our time to stand in our time and to declare to the world, yes, that there is more, because today the darkness is just too dark. It's not gray anymore. It's the dark is dark. And we should stand for this and with boldness and confidence to declare that there is truth. That there is a way, that there is God in this world, that it's not out in the air there. There is the scripture, is the way for every man, for every woman, to life, to peace, to joy, to true freedom that we have in Him.
Yeah. You know, I just think about before the war, it would have been almost inconceivable that you would have had that great an impact.
Oh, yeah.
And that people would be seeking you out. I mean, that just wouldn't have happened. Yeah. And now the war is up, and this is what's happened. You know, all these thousands of people that you've been able to touch and share the gospel with, and people seeking you out now. So it's clearly that the Lord is working, you know, in and through your congregation to make His name known and declare His grace and His goodness to His people. And so thank you for your faithfulness in that. And it's a delight to pray with you and stand with you in this effort.
Well, wow. That was a great conversation, Craig. I'm telling you, again, every time I listen and meet, you know, I've met Pastor Israel. I actually got to watch him play pickleball while he was here before y'all had that conversation. But every time I meet him, I mean, he is so positive. His outlook, his trust in the Lord, his faith. I mean, it's so inspiring listening to him and meeting him and getting to know him. And I'm so thankful that he is a part of the Cross Creek Network.
Yeah, I really am too. He's a dear friend. And God is, I mean, just the way that God is using them and expanding His influence in the region, which was before the war, you know, hard soil now is cultivated soil. And I just love this interview. I love Pastor Israel and what he's doing. And yeah, great, great interview.
Yeah. What really stood out to me is how God is using his church in this hardest situation that we can't even comprehend. I mean, bombs are literally falling on his church, but that's opening that region and bringing people, bringing soldiers and that they're feeding and all this and but it's an open door for the gospel. And I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, I think that was there are a couple of things that really stood out to me in this interview, and this is one of them that I wanted to kind of underscore. And that is that in the crisis, he could have run. I remember talking to him on the phone saying, "Are you going to leave?" And he was like, "No, we're going to stay." Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, I don't know if that's wise, you know? And of course, the whole city was evacuated at some point. But in the middle of the crisis, there was this opportunity where his son Jonathan had this restaurant, and then they started feeding these soldiers. And then it went to 100 meals to 300 meals to 500, up to 1,000 meals a day.
Wow.
And they were delivering them literally to the foxholes. They were taking hot meals they had just made to where these guys are stationed right on the front lines. And then eventually they said, "Hey, you can't come this close." So then the soldiers started coming to them. And now all of a sudden, they are the only ones there taking care of these, you know, these Israeli soldiers. And they know they're doing it in the name of Jesus.
Wow.
And now all these villages in the Galilee know who Pastor Luce is, every one of them. And they love him and they respect him for it. And so now the gospel, I mean, we haven't seen yet what God's going to do with that. But yeah, that was a major sowing opportunity that he could have missed. And I think just from a crisis standpoint, it's always good as a leader to stop back and say, okay, what is God doing in this crisis? And where is the opportunity in this crisis to advance the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. And from a leadership standpoint, that's really important to not miss that. You know, you don't want to miss the opportunity that every crisis affords you. There is an opportunity in there. And I remember when we were going through COVID and everything was shut down, you know, we started doing these park and pray events out in, you know, local high school stadiums, yep, and in hospitals and on school campuses. And that was an opportunity. You know, we were able to move, actually advance in a time when a lot of people were retreating. And I think, though, that was just a good takeaway. He talked about, you know, your heart needs to be right. Your heart needs to be yielded. Mm-hmm. And the crisis reveals who you really are.
Yeah.
And boy, I thought that was convicting, you know, and that there is opportunity in every crisis. And I just thought, Ben, that was a gold nugget that we could take away.
Yeah. And I mean, especially in our, you know, in our North American, you know, Bible Belt church culture, we have a lot of comfort, you know.
Absolutely.
But how do we press through that? How do we continually trust in God? And it is inspiring and it's convicting. It really is convicting of how little we probably sometimes trust God, even when things get hard.
Right.
But we can look to him, we can hear stories of that and really trust that God can do big things in hard situations.
Yeah. And I just want to talk to the person listening to us right now. You know, if you're going through a crisis, there's an opportunity in it. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so just asking the Lord to reveal what is the opportunity here that we can step in faith. You know, he didn't know this was going to work out. He didn't, but they took a step in faith, mm-hmm, and the Lord just continued to open up doors. And I think he gives us a wonderful example,
yeah,
of how to handle this. Another thing that I just want to point out about the interview was he talked a lot about the love that they have for each other and the relational equity he built with the men he disciples. Mm. You know, I've been there, and I was there when he had his discipleship group. He talked about Daniel, he talked about Levi, Zeev, all these guys. I know those guys.
Yeah.
And I watched him just pour into these young men. Now, Pastor Israel, he's in his 60s, or he's about my age. These guys are younger. I'm not 60 yet, by the way. I just want to, for the record. He's pouring into these young leaders, and he's multiplying these young leaders, and there is a great love and care. And remember in the interview, he talked about, I know them. I spend time with them. I'm invested in them, and they have my heart multiplying.
And I just thought, man, this is a Paul Timothy kind of thing. And he is a truly, by definition, a disciple-making leader in that he lives out of the overflow of his walk with Jesus. He intentionally invests in others, and in so doing, multiplies the ministry. And I've seen him do that firsthand.
Yeah, it is. And you know it's authentic. When you meet him, you know he's the real deal. And so I hope this conversation was really encouraging to you. I know it was to me and convicting. If you would like to know more about the Cross Creek Network and work that we have going all around the world, or connect with us at Disciple First, in the show notes there, we have some opportunities for you to do that. You can learn more about Pastor Israel's ministry and everything else with the network. And so, but again, we thank you for listening today, and we pray that this was encouraging to you and that it motivates you to be a disciple-making leader.
Imagine what it would look like to be part of a movement. Imagine raising up church leaders. Imagine launching disciple-making churches all over the world. Imagine you being a part of growing God's kingdom far beyond your own city. Well, you don't have to imagine, it's happening, and you can get involved. The Cross Creek Network is a church planting network committed to planting disciple-making churches in cities like Las Vegas, New York, Montreal, Lusaka, and entire regions like Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. If your heart's desire is to plant churches that make disciples and multiply, then join us. Together, we can make a difference that lasts for eternity. To find out more, go to crosscreeknetwork.com. That's crosscreeknetwork.com.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.